Terms apply. See circular for details.
Do you have pinstripe bowl fever yet? Well, if you do, I may actually have the cure for you. 319-366-1600. Here we go.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show.
McSorley doesn't see the pressure. Is hit as he throws and it's intercepted. Josie Jewell has blockers. Barkley will finally wrestle him down.
That clip notable for a couple reasons. Welcome in. It is another Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. We're with you until 7 o'clock, although not on all three frequencies. We'll explain a little bit later due to the Iowa-Iowa State women's game coming your way on 1600 AM tonight. Great show for you. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, set to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll answer your fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com at 6:05 tonight, and the 6 o'clock showdown on the way, as well as a number of other topics that I don't want to waste any time getting to right now. But that was a clip of the broadcast of Iowa and Penn State earlier this year. Josie Jewell with an interception of Trace McSorley. Jewell named today, along with Josh Jackson, first team All-Big Ten by the Associated Press. Sean Welsh of Iowa, a second-team All-Big Ten pick by the AP. And the other name that you heard there, Saquon Barkley, a Penn State running back who winds up making the tackle there, beats out Iowa State's Joel Lanning for the Paul Hornung Award. News which is not sitting that well with folks, especially in Central Iowa, that feel Joel Lanning should have won that award. But it's just an award. Move on, right? 319-366-1600. We mentioned bowl fever. Alex, I know you were a little under the weather earlier today. Are you feeling all right
right now? I am feeling much better. Doctor gave me some antibiotics, so maybe that's the cure for bowl fever. I think I had a touch of bowl fever, and now I'm much better.
No, I said pinstripe bowl fever, and if you've got pinstripe bowl fever, I don't think there's any medication over-the-counter or pharmaceutically prescribed that could probably cure you at this point.
Maybe an experimental drug.
Yeah.
I think that's possible. Well, but hey, Todd, I as soon as you said that, as soon as you said, do you have pinstripe bowl fever, the phone line just lit up.
Yeah, and I wonder where all those people disappeared to now. Although it's
bad cell service.
Nah. Well, here's the deal. I said I had the cure for you if you had pinstripe bowl fever. Iowa facing Boston College later this month at Yankee Stadium in New York. I don't know whether folks have seen this or not, but Sports Illustrated earlier today had a ranking, and you don't put too much stock into this, but Sports Illustrated ranked all of the bowl games as far as watchability goes.
Oh, boy.
Now, you'd be surprised by this.
Okay.
So how many bowl games are there?
41.
There's 41, right?
40 if you count 40 FBS bowl games. There's a Celebration Bowl, which they count as 41, but FBS-wise, there's 40.
Okay. Well, they only ranked 37 of these. I don't know why they did 37 instead of doing all of them at this point. But if you've got pinstripe bowl fever, they have the Pinstripe Bowl ranked 35th on the list as far as watchability goes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Iowa and Boston College, not exactly two great powerhouses this season. And I will get that for you just a second because, of course, everything has gone to hell right now because it's 4:09 and I'm on the air, and why wouldn't it be? I had the article in front of me, and now my computer has gone schizo on me. So my apologies for that. But by the way, as I get to the Pinstripe Bowl, coming in at 35th, it's a scathing takedown of the matchup between Iowa and Boston College. Number two on the list, so the second most watchable bowl game, according to Sports Illustrated, is going to be the Liberty Bowl featuring Iowa State and Memphis. The write-up here is, it seems like these teams were involved in a disproportionate number of the season's most exciting games. Iowa State with its upset of Oklahoma and last-second losses to Oklahoma State and Iowa. Memphis with its shootout win over UCLA and double overtime loss to UCF. Both programs also recently locked in their rising coaches with new deals, meaning no one will be caught looking toward 2018. And Iowa State's Alan Lazard and Memphis's Anthony Miller are two of the best receivers in the country, full stop. Can you name the only bowl game Sports Illustrated thinks is more watchable than this year's Liberty Bowl?
The reason that I think that they only have 37 of the 40 is they're not counting the two Final Four games and the national championship game.
Okay, there
so
you go.
I have to exclude those.
Okay, yeah. They're not technically bowl games, yes.
Whew. I guess without having the bowl matchup in front of me.
It's a New Year's Six game.
Oh, it's a New Year's
Six
game.
Does that help you?
UCF and Auburn?
No. The Cotton Bowl, USC and Ohio State.
That will be a very entertaining football game. The watchability ranking, it's based on offense, is it not? It's based on scoring.
It's based on what one guy thinks.
Right.
It's basically what it is. The Pinstripe Bowl, this is not going to sell tickets. Now, remember, Gary Barta said use the 9/11 Memorial Museum as a selling point for folks making the trip. And if you're going down that road, then it tells you all you need to know about the bowl trip. Boston College's stretch run offensive explosion, 36 points per game in the second half of the regular season, still feels too good to be true. And a meeting with the Hawkeyes, traditionally a stylistic kindred spirit, inside a baseball stadium, should remind the Eagles of the first two 14 points thrillers from whence they came.
Ouch.
Are you rushing to the Eastern Iowa airport right now and plopping your money down on the desk, ordering tickets to fly to New York City for the 27th, 319-366-1600? Is there anybody that expects anything good to come of the Pinstripe Bowl at this point?
I actually think the players are fairly excited about going to New York City, because from what I've been told, the bowl gifts, the itineraries, and everything that they get to experience while being in New York City has both sides pretty excited. The people I don't think are very excited are the fans of either side. Maybe Boston College a little bit more because they're in much closer proximity to New York City.
And they want to be there.
And they
want
to be
there.
The team wants to be there. But the other part is playing in a baseball stadium. I don't think Iowa will be excited about playing in a baseball stadium. Boston College has done it a couple of times. And just when Iowa goes to a bowl game, there's atmosphere. The fans travel. They're playing in a football stadium. And usually you get somewhat of a decent atmosphere at a bowl game. I don't think that's going to be the case this time at all.
Kirk Ferentz has to hate this. And I know he talked about some challenges or whatever his exact wording was on Sunday when they had the news conference. But he just has to absolutely hate the idea of playing in this game. Now, Iowa's not the only place, only team and only fan base that's not too happy about where it's heading, because David Haw at the Chicago Tribune had a story earlier today about 9-3 Northwestern deserving better than the Music City Bowl. Well, of course. I don't think a 9-win team should be playing in the Music City Bowl, but the way that things shook out this year, that's the way that it is at this point. But Iowa State's selling tickets by the bunches for the Liberty Bowl. And
yes.
Iowa, I don't know what you can do at this point to get people. Look, the reaction from the text line, 1753, you would have to pay me to fly to New York City for a football game at Yankee Stadium. 7892, I love the Hawkeyes, but let's be honest, we deserve any scathing comments that come our way this year. The comments were more at the bowl game and a dig at BC. They weren't even really talking about the Hawkeyes, which I guess should worry you even a little bit more.
Because when you factor in that up and down offense, then you could really, you're really in for a not so watchable matchup from the looks of it. Because at least BC, they talked about them having a 4 or 5 game stretch where they scored 36 plus points. Iowa has had a couple of games like that, then more pedestrian offense throughout the rest of the year. So yeah, I would have, when you said that this was going to surprise me, I would have thought that maybe somebody would have ranked them that game in the middle. When you said that it was going to be surprising, the fact that it's ranked as low as it is, I guess not necessarily that big of a surprise.
34-35 on the Hertin and Stocker text line. And by the way, we've got another $50 gift certificate to Hertin and Stocker we're going to give away sometime before 7 o'clock tonight. Yankee Stadium is a cool enough reason to go to New York. I agree, though, playing a football game on a baseball field feels weird. It's not like it's old Yankee Stadium. This is new Yankee Stadium. Once it's been around for a decade. And this isn't the house that Ruth built. It's not the stadium where Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in the World Series off the Dodgers. This is a relatively new ballpark with very little history. So even from that standpoint, it's kind of tough. Now, I will say this. I thought I was going to skip out on this trip. And my wife, of all people, said, no, you should go and cover the game and you're a baseball fan, and this is unique, and how many other times is Iowa ever going to stink badly enough to stoop this low in the bowl pecking order but still go to a bowl game? Either they're really bad and win 4 games like we saw a decade ago, or they're decent enough where 8 wins, 9 wins usually gets them much higher in the bowl pecking order, which people say there is no pecking order anymore. I still think that there is, but she has a point, and so I'm biting the bullet and going to New York City for a couple days, and I know I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that just feel tremendously sorry for me and have a ton of sympathy for. I know how this works. Everybody thinks that this is the greatest job in the world and perks galore. Nah, I was going to sleep on somebody's floor Christmas night because of the budget for this trip. But it's very nice and kind enough that person actually came through and gifted me my own room for Christmas night. So we'll have to do more than cocktails at the hotel bar if it's still open. But Iowa and the Pinstripe Bowl, catch the fever.
Maybe I'll catch heat for saying this, but this bowl game,
I don't say anything controversial,
feels very non-Power 5.
Oh, you think?
This December 27th on a Thursday in a baseball stadium at 4:15 p.m., where I guess you're going to catch the Judge Judy crowd, who also likes football, watching this game. Iowa, I'm trying to think of the worst bowl game that I've seen them go to, and I guess you can point to the Insight Bowl, but that is at least in a large college football venue, a famous college football venue in Sun Devil Stadium in prime time. So I'm just not used to seeing Iowa, no matter how down their season was, 6-6, 7-5, playing in a game where it just feels so minor league.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because you know what my first reaction was when I saw the time and the day of the week? My first thought was, this is going to feel like a MAC football game.
Yeah. Like the famous Idaho Potato Bowl or something like that.
This just has the look of, hey, let's put some football on Thursday. Now, bowl games obviously are a little bit different, but this is about bottom of the barrel as far as Iowa bowl games go. And the Insight Bowl wasn't all that great. They played Missouri and Oklahoma, though. It's 2 pretty good programs, and you had the Bob Stoops angle the year that, and Marvin McNutt almost got killed by a camera. That's what I remember about that game. And Jim Ross, the legendary wrestling announcer, being on the sideline for Oklahoma. And then Missouri was the last time Iowa won a bowl game. It's been 7 or 8 years going back to that Insight, but the first of the 2 trips to the Insight Bowl. But this just, I don't know anybody who's actually looking forward to this game outside of, I guess, hardcore Hawkeye fan who looks forward to every game. But I don't think there's anybody who's just head over heels about making the trip out to New York City for this game. And I know there are people who build their entire year toward following Iowa to whatever bowl destination the Hawkeyes go to. And that usually involves warmth and sun and a day at the beach. And I still thought Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette had the best tweet of all Sunday night after the bowl destinations were announced, when he said, pleaded with Hawkeye fans to please stop asking him what day beach day was at the Pinstripe Bowl. You can go to the beach.
Probably
it's just,
not.
It's not going to be the beach that choice. Hawkeye fans are used to going to for their bowl trips.
Mike from Marengo on the Hurtine and Stocker text line, MASH reruns have a better time slot than the Pinstripe Bowl.
This reminds me of, I think it's Richard Deitch on Twitter who always does the ratings for Undisputed and puts them up against Bubble Guppies and reruns of SpongeBob SquarePants. Do I think Iowa will sell its full ticket allotment, $34.98 on the text line?
Nah.
What is it, 7,500 tickets? What are they normally on the hook for?
Normally,
schools,
it depends on the bowl game, but if that place holds, what does it hold, 49,000,
it's a baseball
50,
stadium, 000. So I mean, it's not going to be, it, I mean, it's way, way less than a traditional football stadium.
Because of that, maybe. If it's 7,500, then now, possibly.
I will say this, I feel like we're beating up Iowa here. They got what they deserved. We've got a number of people saying on the text line exactly that. You had a couple close losses. Other than that, you had a couple really nice wins, too. It makes Iowa a relatively attractive team. They go to New York. They go to the Pinstripe Bowl. The biggest thing here is they need to win the game.
Yes.
Because they need to exercise that demon, and they need people to stop talking about not just losing bowl games, but the last three bowl games have been an embarrassment. I mean, an absolute, utter embarrassment. Florida last year, not so much, because let's just face it, that was a game that most people probably turned off at halftime. But the Taxslayer Bowl against Tennessee, which, remember, hindsight, everybody thought, well, at least they got waxed by an up-and-coming Tennessee program. That was like the highlight of the Butch Jones era.
That was,
and then
yes.
Stanford in the Rose Bowl, that's an embarrassment of, you know, on the grand national stage, you're in the granddaddy of them all, and the game is over when Christian McCaffrey returns. They got to win this game, whether it's watchable or not. And Sports Illustrated can rank it 37th on the list for all most folks care. Whether it's watchable or not, they just need to win the game. By the way, the two bowl games that are worse than Iowa-Boston College would be the Cure Bowl.
In Orlando, beautiful Orlando.
Western Kentucky and Georgia State.
Gross.
And the Independence Bowl, which is Southern Miss and Florida State, a Jimbo Fisherless Florida State squad. Let's go to the phone lines here. Craig in Cedar Rapids wants to talk bowl games. Craig, go ahead. You with us, Craig? Okay, moving on. Let me tell you about lowtusa.com. It's a website you need to go to in order to learn a little bit more about Mantality, which is a new local men's health clinic in North Liberty, conveniently located between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. What do they specialize in? Well, they specialize in men's health. And one of the leading things that men should be concerned about, regardless of age, low testosterone and testosterone replacement therapy. If you're suffering from low testosterone, it's not a death sentence, far from it. But it can lead to a number of issues that maybe you want to rectify. Start feeling a little bit better about yourself, more energy, feel a little bit younger again, like you find the fountain of youth. That's testosterone replacement therapy. Treatments vary over length of time. Every patient is different, but they've got about a 90% success rate regardless of the health status of the individual when you walk in the door. Plus, it's unlike any doctor's office that you've ever visited before. It's a men's health clinic for a reason. LowTUSA.com. Covered by insurance, you're dealing with board-certified physicians. Yes, doctors, nurse practitioners, the whole nine yards. LowTUSA.com and Mantality. 424, we will step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to have your first big board update of the day. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, is set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Big NFL news today. Roger Goodell gets his contract extended 5 years. Plus, They are looking at instituting a targeting rule moving forward, much like the college game, whether or not you think that's a good idea. We may talk a little bit about that today as well. 424, quick timeout, back with more after this.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with, like, hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
Granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at TryonInvestments.com.
Who wins tonight's Iowa-Iowa State women's basketball game? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, sponsored by Emil's Hideaway. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Bill Fennelly and Lisa Bluter squaring off tonight. And then tomorrow, it's the men's turn. And I think I saw an early line on that, the Cyclones, about a 5 to 6 point favorite over Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes tomorrow night, as you would expect it to be, especially with the game being played at Hilton Coliseum. We'll see how things play out with the women's game tonight. It's been a long time since Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes, or the Hawkeyes period, have won in Hilton Coliseum. We'll see if they can end that skid tonight, and then, of course, the Hawkeye men tomorrow. Craig in Cedar Rapids is back with us wanting to talk bowl games. Craig, what's up?
Well, I mean, Iowa beating anybody or beating Boston College in this game is, I mean, it's not going to prove anything in the least. I don't know why anybody would be surprised about this. You know, no one looking forward to this, because basically, you know, I mean, who are they playing? I mean, they're not playing anybody. If they played somebody that was any good, they'd get blasted. And then if they're playing somebody of their ability, of their size, then, you know, it'd just be back to Iowa's boring offense. So, I mean, it just is what it is right now. I mean, they've got to come up with an answer on offense, or this is just the way it's going to be.
Appreciate the phone call. See, I don't know if it's as simple as that, because they played so well against Ohio State, and they routed Nebraska, and granted, Nebraska is awful, but we've seen this Jekyll and Hyde team this year. When they're on, they look really good, and I still don't know how you can discount the performance against Ohio State and how well they played against Penn State earlier in the year as well. Those two teams are going to New Year's Six Bowls, and this is going to be probably as long as I live, so let's call it another 8 or 9 years, depending on how things are going here. As long as I live, this is probably going to be perhaps the most perplexing Iowa football season that I will have ever covered as a member of the media, because you just can't, from the way that they played Iowa State at the beginning of the season and 44 points and the effort in that game and the Penn State game, and then you look at Wisconsin and 66 yards and you look at Purdue, which was just an inexcusable loss. Where is this team? Who is this team? And we're still asking that question in December when they're getting ready for a bowl game. Send it over to Kyle. We'll revisit this before 7 o'clock tonight. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It's postseason accolade season, and today Josie Jewell was named first team All-Big Ten and named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year by the Associated Press. Despite missing a game, he led the conference with 123 tackles. Josh Jackson was also named to the first team defense, while Sean Welsh was named to the second team offense. Jackson was also named a first team All-American by Pro Football Focus, as well as Iowa State's David Montgomery. 90 University of Iowa athletes were named academic All Big Ten across six fall sports, and of the 90, 41 were football players. That breaks Iowa's single season record of 22 selections from last year. Students from women's soccer, men and women's cross country, field hockey, and volleyball were also recognized. It's Cy-Hawk week of the basketball season. The men will play on Thursday, and there's a chance that the Cyclones will have only eight players active for the second straight game. Jacoby Long is recovering from a concussion, but the team also announced that it's going to be without Zoran Talley indefinitely after an MRI yesterday showed a stress fracture in his foot. For the Hawkeyes, Connor McCaffrey isn't likely to play, while Ryan Kreener has a chance to return from his concussion. The women's Cy-Hawk game is going to go down tonight in Ames, however, and you'll be able to hear it on KGYM. That game is actually going to feature the Big Ten and Big 12's reigning players of the week in Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Iowa State's Bridget Carlton. And we're going to go to that game on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, beginning at 6:30. You can finish the rest of our show on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Rough Riders were in action last night in Green Bay, too. They fell to the Gamblers 3-1 at the Resch Center. That's three losses in a row for Cedar Rapids. They're back home Friday and Saturday night at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. The Chicago Steel come to town on Friday, and then it's Dubuque on Saturday. So the Riders have an opportunity to turn things around there again. But again, a 3-1 loss last night in Green Bay. Roger Goodell, lots of NFL talk to get to today. The 6 o'clock showdown, no Riders tickets, by the way, the prize tonight for the 6 o'clock showdown coming up in the third and final hour of the program. Get your fantasy football questions to us for ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft as well, 319-366-1600. Playoffs begin this week, and Alex, I know we've got 10 seconds here, but do you know who the number one seed is in the Listener League?
Let me guess, it's us.
Yeah, it's us. We'll talk a little bit about that with Tristan coming up. We get the week off. Hope you do too. Back with more after this.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. This update coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers regarding linebacker Ryan Shazier. They say he has returned to Pittsburgh and is now receiving medical attention at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center facility. He will continue tests and evaluations before his medical team provides any further updates on his condition. We want to again thank the doctors and the staff at UC Health University of Cincinnati's Medical Center for their excellent care of Ryan that he received while at that facility. Ryan Shazier, that's the latest update after the incident where he injured his spine on Monday Night Football with the hit when he led with his head. Meanwhile, other news around the NFL today. Commissioner Roger Goodell has signed his contract extension. Jerry Jones, you're up next. Jones, the Cowboys owner, had said he wanted to sue the league should this happen. The commissioner and the compensation committee have signed off on a deal that will run through the 2023 full season into 2024. Five-year extension, $200 million, worth about $40 million per year. The league's monitoring the situation in Southern Cal with the wildfires.
This holiday season, Upside.com is giving all business travelers the gift of a better business travel experience. Just book your next business trip at Upside.com to enjoy a level of customer service you've never had before. You deserve a better business trip. Upside.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
At Amazon, we've got millions of toys and games to choose from this holiday. For kids of all ages, from the classics to new ideas to the must-have hits. So, whether you're buying for creative kids, competitive kids, or, well, grown-up kids, visit Amazon for all the toys and games you need and give a little love this holiday. And get free shipping on over 100 million items with eligible orders over $25, only at Amazon.
Give a little bit of my love to you.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Blomkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty more to get to. Your fantasy football questions for Tristan Cockcroft at 6:05 tonight. You can get them to us early on the Hertin & Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. And speaking of Hertin & Stocker, we've still got that $50 gift certificate that you can put toward coming up with a very nice stocking stuffer for somebody. And didn't the hobos, they made their bindles out of stockings, I think. Well, it wasn't hobo days in Brookings this time around, and maybe that was the problem for you and I. The voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima, joining us, and we talked about this last week. Gary, we knew it was going to be a little bit of a difficult challenge for you and I to beat South Dakota State twice, and unfortunately, it's the Jackrabbits advancing.
Yeah, they were ready for the rematch. There's no doubt about it. I think having that bye week really helped them. I think they spent both weeks just preparing for you and I. Figuring the Panthers would be able to beat Monmouth out of the Big South in that first round game, and their skill players, their quarterback Taron Christian, Jake Winicky, their outstanding wide receiver, and Dallas Goddard, an NFL prospect at tight end, they were all on their game on Saturday. They looked really good, and you know, they really did to you and I what the Panthers did to them the first time around. If you remember, you and I jumped on South Dakota State 17-0 back in on October 14th, built that nice lead, and South Dakota State never really responded. Well, they built a 26-7 halftime lead on you and I, and the Panthers just weren't able to fight back and turn it into a one possession game and ended up losing 37-22. But guys, it was a good season. It was tough, but I love the way this team fought back and found a way to get into the playoffs and then to get two playoff games. You always hate to see it end because I thought this was a special group of guys.
You mentioned the October 14th game, and we talked about it last week. You said that maybe Marcus Weimiller caught him a little bit off guard. You and I was able to run the football early and often in that game. The Jackrabbits were much better against the run this time around. How much did that make a difference in the game?
Well, the offense really sputtered because of that. They just couldn't get the running game going. And going into the game, Coach Farley told us one of the keys for you and I offensively was to get the running game going again. And when that's a big part of your offense to make everything work from the play action pass to everything else you want to do offensively, and they're able to slow down your rushing attack, and it just made it tough for the offense all day. It just was a struggle. And you know, guys, that's a really good South Dakota State football team. They beat us a year ago at our place pretty handily, and I thought our game when we beat them in October was one of the best games we played all year. We just couldn't duplicate it, and part of it was they were ready for Marcus Weimiller and what we wanted to try and do in the running game this time around. That when we sprung Weimiller and the Wildcat on them in October, nobody else had seen it all year, so they were unprepared for it. I can tell you this time they were well prepared for what you and I wanted to try and do, especially with Weinmiller and the running attack.
Talking a little you and I football before we get back to basketball with the play-by-play voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima. He joins us every Wednesday here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. What did Mark Farley have to say after the game looking back on this season?
Well, he said that he felt this was one of his greatest group of men that he had coached at UNI, and not necessarily by the one loss record, but just by the quality of guys that they were. And I saw that too as we traveled with the team and hung around the guys and stuff. It really was an outstanding group of young men, and I think too with the way this team fought back from a 2-3 start to the season, and then had to face four top 10 ranked teams right in a row to win three of those four. I think that really impressed Coach Farley. He thought it was as good a run this year when this team won three of four against teams that were ranked in the top 10 when you and I faced them, and then to win, you know, five of their last six regular season games and six of their last seven going to that second round game last week. He said he thought it was a better run than the year that 2005 team made it all the way to the championship game, but had that really tough stretch after they started, I think, 3-4 start and won their last four, including winning at Western Kentucky in an overtime game. And they were a top 10 ranked team, and beating Southern Illinois that year when they were highly ranked. He thought this was even a more impressive accomplishment with what this team did. So he, in his 17 years as the head coach, he just said that he thought this was, one of the best group of young men that he's ever had the chance to coach and work with, and just felt it was a pretty special team.
Now, having said that, there will be some losses on this team to Reese Fountain, Adam Reth, Jared Farley will be gone, but for the most part, the quarterback will be back, the top two running backs will be back, Briley Moore will be back, Jalen James, and we saw Jalen Rima healthy and back playing and producing against South Dakota State. How much can the resolve that this team showed the second half of the year be a building block for next year?
Well, that's the definite hope, is that after the way this team finished, and you're right, we lose some really quality seniors, some key pieces on offense and defense. But I I'm not sure you can replace a Jared Farley with what he brought to the defensive side of the football. But I think the rest of that defense can be really strong again next year. There's some top notch guys coming back, and there's some young guys that are just kind of waiting in the wings for their opportunity. So I think with the way this team finished, I know talking with some of the younger guys, some of the returning guys, they're anxious to get back into the weight room, get into spring practice, get into some really good summer workouts, and be ready for a big year next year. And, you know, with that said, you got to look at that schedule, guys, for next year. I mean, we talked about how tough the schedule was this year, one of the number one or two toughest schedules in all of FCS football. It doesn't get any easier next year. This team opens up at Montana, and then they host Southern Utah, that won the Big Sky Championship this year and beat you and I in the regular season. And then you play at Iowa, the Big Ten Hawkeyes. So the three tough non-conference games are right back on the schedule next year, and then we know what a grind that the Missouri Valley Football Conference is. But I do think that this team ended the season as a confident group, and I think with the returning guys, we'll have a chance to do some pretty good things again next season. I love the fact we got our senior, we'll have Eli Dunn back at quarterback. He'll be a senior, with Y. Miller and Trevor Allen back in the backfield, and Christian Jagan and a good number of those offensive linemen will be back. I think you got a lot to work with. The tight ends are back. The receivers are back, except for Darice Fountain. I think offensively it's got a chance to be as good a team as we saw this year, if not better.
Before we move on from football with Scott Frost getting the job over in Nebraska, he's got a number of former UNI guys on the staff there. It's almost like UNI's Big Ten team there in Lincoln. That's got to feel good for Panther fans to see all those guys getting an opportunity to move up in the coaching ranks.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive, and I've never been a Nebraska Cornhuskers football fan or, you know, on that Go Big Red train, but I am excited for Scott Frost, who was a really good coach at UNI when he was just out of the NFL and trying to work his way up to coaching ranks. And, you know, Mario Verduzco was at UNI for the first 14 years of Mark Farley's head coaching tenure. And Mario's one of my all-time favorite coaches, guys, that coached at UNI, just an outstanding guy, quarterbacks coach, co-offensive coordinator at UNI. And he was with Coach Frost the last 2 years at Central Florida. And he's excited for their opportunity to coach in the Big Ten and take over that Nebraska program. And then Eric Shenander, a guy that actually coached tight end when he was at UNI, a walk-on at Iowa, made the football team there as a walk-on, and he's out of Allison, Iowa. He was our tight ends coach for a couple of years, and he's the defensive coordinator for Coach Frost. That was his position with Coach Frost at Central Florida.
Let's move on to basketball here. I got to level with you, Gary. I came in after the UNLV win last week, and I was really excited, and I pulled up the broadcast, and I was looking for that signature Gary Rima moment we were going to play back on the air the next day, and I was surprised that you didn't really go over the top when you and I, especially when went to overtime, and then at the end of the game, it's not like it was in dramatic fashion, but it sounded like you were very confident you and I was going to win that game, so I want to let you know how disappointed I was in you.
Hate to disappoint you, man. That hurts. But you needed to get inside the broadcast a little bit when we hit a couple of big shots, and I dropped a couple of those. Oh, baby, I love this team, because we were down in the closing minutes of that game, and had to fight back just to tie it up and get it to overtime. And then we really did handle UNLV in overtime, but it was an impressive win. That's a really good Rebels ball club, and I think they're gonna have a pretty good year. But just another really important non-conference win for this UNI men's basketball team is that they've done a good job of building this resume that you want to work on. So when you get to the end of the season, if you don't get the automatic berth out of the Missouri Valley Conference, you're at least in the discussion to get an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, with wins over SMU and North Carolina State, and those teams have done some good things since you and I beat them. And then the win over UNLV, and another opportunity tomorrow night with this UT Arlington team coming in to, I think, try and get yourself a resume-building victory. So pretty impressive start to the season. Bennett Cook was outstanding in that game. One of the best games I've seen him play from start to finish, and then Clint Carlson really got it going offensively. And tell you what, if we can, we're not going to get 30 and 23 out of those two guys every night, but if we get some double digit offensive production out of those guys on a regular basis, I think this team's got a chance to really have a special season and do some more outstanding things before this year's all over.
Let's talk about Bennett Cook for a second, because it seems like the last 3 or 4 years, this team has had a dude, if you will, a guy who when things broke down, you could go to, that team could go to make a big shot or pull down a big rebound, whether it was Seth Tuttle or Wes Washburn or Jeremy Morgan. It has tended to be a senior. Can Bennett Cook be that kind of guy?
Yes. Yeah. In a one-word answer, yes. As a matter of fact, it's why I put him down on my preseason ballot as a first team all MVC performer, because I really felt like this would be the year that Bennett Cook would be the guy, like Seth, along the lines of what Seth Tuttle was his senior season, where Bennett offensively can just be a handful, especially in our league. We don't have a lot of 6'10", 6'11" type centers in the Missouri Valley Conference. And I thought when it came league time, that he could really dominate inside. I would say Clint Carlson would be, if Bennett Cook was 1A, Clint Carlson would be 1B as far as that go-to guy. But then Clint offensively kind of struggled some in the first 6 or 7 games of the year. But, man, he was really good against UNLV, taking it to the hole. And that little baby hook shot that he has, the left-hander, instead of just settling for outside shots and trying to hit threes, he looked like the old Clint Carlson that we saw a couple of years ago. So I think we got a couple of guys there, but I'm telling you, a lot of the offense I think is going to go through Bennett Cook this year with the way he's playing aggressively and staying after it at the offensive end. If you remember, his older brother Adam Cook his senior year, had an outstanding year and was named the player of the year in the Valley. I hate to put the pressure on Bennett, but I think Bennett could have that type of season where he'll be, when we get to the end of the year, he'll be in the discussion for the Larry Bird Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. I think he's that good, guys. And he's, what's impressive to me is he's done it against some really good players. He, you know, when you look at the big men he went up against North Carolina, SMU, Villanova, North Carolina State, the seven-footer from UNLV, this Texas Arlington team has a couple of seven-footers. He's went toe-to-toe with them and has played great basketball, where in previous years, when we played against some of those really high-powered teams that had the good big man, Bennett seemed to struggle some and then was better in conference play. But, man, he hasn't backed down at all, and he's out to a great, great start to his senior season.
Let's go back to Clint Carlson for just a second. He had 23 points against UNLV on 22 shots. The 22 shots, more than double his shot output from any game this season. How much of that do you think is a concerted effort, or maybe Coach Jacobson telling him to be more aggressive?
I think that's part of it, and I think Clint just finally said, you know what, I got to put up more shots, and I've got to help this team, and I got to find ways to score. And he won't put up 20 plus shots every night, but the way he was rolling and was taking it to the rack on in that game last Wednesday against UNLV, you know, he had to, because they were having a hard time stopping him. But he's a very good offensive player. I've watched him work in shooting drills and stuff, not only this year but in previous years. He does have a nice shot, a good touch. He's that 6'7" left-hander that's a little crafty when he gets in the lane area, and it just kind of finally clicked for him against UNLV. We need to see more of that now. It can't be a one-game wonder. We need more of that. Doesn't necessarily have to try and get up 22 shots, but if he can get up a dozen to 15 shots per game, I think he can be a 14, 15-point-a-game guy, along with the rebounding and the way he defends and the leadership he brings. To me, that would really help this UNI Panther basketball team.
Gary, before we let you go, what have you learned about the Mavericks so far in doing your preparation for tomorrow? They are 7-1, and the casual college basketball fan may look and go, Northern Iowa, Texas Arlington, that doesn't look like much of a matchup. UNI's got the 27th best RPI in the country, and UT Arlington's at 44, so this should be a very good basketball game between two very good teams tomorrow night.
Well, at first, I'll tell you what Coach Jacobson told us as he's watched film on him and prepared for him on Monday. He said, as good as SMU and North Carolina State and Villanova and UNLV are, those were four really tough games right in a row. He said, well, now it's five, because he thinks this UT Arlington team is in that same category. Now, I don't know, they're probably not quite as good as Villanova, but they're in that same quality team as what we've seen in those last four games. They're a team that won 27 games a year ago, won a couple of games in the NIT. They got a starting point guard, guys, that's leading the nation in assists. He dishes out 10 assists per game. They got a 7-foot center that's a handful. They bring a 7-foot-1 kid off the bench to rotate in with him. They've got a 6'7" forward that is scoring at a high rate. It's just an outstanding team. A lot of seniors, a very senior-laden ball club, and it's going to be a great game. You know, it's not very often. I mean, you just take a look at UNI, Iowa State, Drake's schedule. It's not very often that we see two top 50 ranked RPI teams go head to head in a non-conference game. The Panthers have had some of those already, but now this one on tomorrow night is another one of those great matchups at home, where you got two teams that are in the top 50 RPI, got a chance I think when we get to the end of the year, you're going to see both these teams, UT Arlington and UNI, if they don't get an automatic berth to the NCAA tournament, they're going to be teams that are going to have a resume that they're going to be in the discussion about being an at-large. So this game will carry some importance tomorrow night, I think, by the time we get down to the end of the season. So it should be a fun one They're a team that wants to score 80 to 85 points a game. Panthers are top 10 in the nation in scoring defense, holding teams to 58 points per game. So it'll be a battle of wills again tomorrow night on who can dictate tempo and control that game. So I'm really looking forward to it. This is another great home game for you and I.
Great stuff as always, Gary. I hope I didn't offend you too much when I said you let me down with your call at the finish of the UNLV game. Maybe I come up to Cedar Falls sometime and take you out to Peppers or the Hill or something, and we get you a couple beers to make up for that. How about that?
No problem. I'll try and crank it up a little bit for you the next time to make sure we got something good for you.
It was good. It just wasn't Gary Rima good. I was thinking, man, they beat UNLV. He's going to be so excited. And it was matter of fact. And you know what? Panther fans probably like that because it was exuding confidence, as you do every Wednesday here with us. Gary, thanks for the time, as always.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Name another radio host that would insult his guest like that. You can't. It's impossible. I didn't mean it as an insult. I just said, hey, I was thinking, man, they're going to overtime against UNLV. He had to lose his mind, and it wasn't the case. We didn't even wind up playing the audio last week because it was so pedestrian, which is not something you can often say about Gary's call of games. He does a terrific job, and that contest again tomorrow night, UT Arlington, the preview in the Gazette today, it may be the best basketball game played in the state of Iowa this year. Tomorrow night at the McLeod Center. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's going to have your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It's postseason accolade season, and today Josie Jewell was named first team All Big Ten and named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year by the Associated Press. Despite missing a game, he led the conference with 123 tackles. Josh Jackson was also named to the first team defense, while Sean Welsh was named to the second team offense. Jackson was also named a first team All-American by Pro Football Focus, as well as Iowa State running back David Montgomery. 90 University of Iowa athletes were named Academic All-Big Ten across six fall sports, and of the 90, 41 were football players. That breaks Iowa's single-season record of 22 selections from last year, and students from women's soccer, men and women's cross-country, field hockey, and volleyball were also recognized. It's Cy-Hawk week of the basketball season. The men will play on Thursday, and there's a chance that the Cyclones will have only 8 players active for the second straight game. Jacoby Long is recovering from a concussion, but the team also announced today that it will be without Zoran Talley indefinitely after an MRI yesterday showed a stress fracture in his foot. For the Hawkeyes, Connor McCaffrey isn't likely to play, while Ryan Kreener has a chance to return from his concussion. The women's Cy-Hawk game is going to go down tonight in Ames, however, and you'll be able to hear it on KGYM. That game's actually going to feature the Big Ten and Big 12's reigning players of the week in Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Iowa State's Bridget Carleton. And we're going to go to that game on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, beginning at 6:30. You can finish the rest of our show on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Rough Riders lose 3-1 last night on the road to Green Bay, and Tom Brands letting it be known today that Alex Marinelli is going to make his season debut for the Hawkeyes this weekend on the wrestling mat. The talented 165-pounder will face off against Rutgers and Maryland as the Hawkeyes head east after getting by Illinois last weekend. That was something, that scene with Terry Brands jumping over the scorer's table. We're going to have a little fun, at least we're going to try to, coming up in hour number two. I hope you like it. Back with more after this.